man whose head's gone upside down. Summer Psalms 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. Five summer psalms on the next few Sunday mornings. Today, it's Psalm 30. Let's pray. Father, please bless your word to us. As we've already prayed, it's not man's word, it's not my word, it's your word. Please make the book live to every one of us this morning. Though written so long ago, so relevant to our situation, to each personal situation, whether it's one of joy or sorrow, Lord, we ask that you will speak through your Holy Spirit and point our eyes, our thoughts, and our hearts to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a church Bible, it will say, Joy Comes with the Morning. Good title. A Psalm of David. That's true. A song at the dedication of the temple. That may not be correct. Maybe. Most Bibles say a song at the dedication of the house. And there are two houses that often are referred to with regard to this psalm. One is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. When David, after all his travails, after all his wandering in the wilderness, after all the battles, after all the strife, had a time of stability, and a man called King Hiram offered to build him a house. And he brought all the stuff with all his wood-making tools from 100 miles away in Tyre to where David was living. That was a very generous act. That was a house built for David. And then two chapters further on, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, David is rejoicing and dancing because the Ark of the Covenant, has come home. He comes home to his wife, Michal, the son of Saul. She despises him for his dancing because not only does she say it's embarrassing, look at the way you're dressed so scantily. But she was the daughter of Saul. And Saul and David had often been at loggerheads. She despised David more for the fact that the ark had come home. But when the ark came home, God spoke to Nathan, David's friend, and said, I need a house to dwell in. And after the ark had come home, from then on, preparations for the temple began. But they wouldn't build the temple for many years to come. So a dedication of the house that Hiram built, or a dedication of the house that God wanted for himself and that would become the temple. I don't know which one's correct, but I'm going to plump for the first one. So come with me before we start to 2 Samuel chapter 5. Be very brief, then we'll get into the psalm. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Verse 10. This is David after all the battles, having a time of rest. And David became greater and greater. So his star was rising. For the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees, also carpenters and masons, who built David a house. I'd like to know a King Hiram. What an offer. He built a house for a time of prosperity, which could have been a time of complacency. I think that fits well with this psalm. We're going to call the psalm, Praise Changes Everything. You've heard the phrase, prayer changes everything. Praise changes everything. Just look through very quickly. If you've got it all on one page, you'll see it even easier. Verse 1, O Lord. 2, O Lord. 3, O Lord. 7, O Lord. 8, O Lord. 10, O Lord. O Lord. 12, O Lord. It is full of the Lord. And when O is there, it's David crying out to heaven in praise and adoration, and in the middle of the psalm in confession. You'll find O Lord throughout the psalms, but hardly as many times as in this one. And what seems to have happened, you'll find in the middle. David has fallen into presumptuous sin. Now he prayed a prayer in Psalm 19. O Lord, keep your servant, that's me, David, from presumptuous sin. That is complacency. That is, 2 Samuel chapter 5, thinking, I'm okay. God's looked after me. Now I can look after myself. I'm strong enough to do everything alone. That's what David prayed in Psalm 19. Keep me from depending upon myself for success, for progress, for defeating the enemy, for ruling the kingdom. Keep me from presumption, from pride. So we're going to look at this psalm under four very brief headings. They all happen to begin with PR, which is good for me. I'm not usually that clever. There's no overhead, so don't look up there. Sorry about it. Look this way, or just look down at your Bible, a scroll on your tablet, and there's no overhead. First of all, it is a psalm of praise, 1-5. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up. You literally have pulled me out of a pit. You have drawn me up almost like in a bucket. You've not let my foes rejoice over me. They've had their days, they've had their triumphs, but they never had a final victory. You've not let my foes rejoice over me. They've laughed at me, they've hounded me, they've had a go at me, but they've never been able to say, gotcha, you're finished. Call yourself a man after God's own heart and look how he's treated you? No, they've not been able to rejoice over me. Lord my God, 2, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. We don't know the illness, but he was healed. Not everybody gets healed. Beware people who tell you they have a healing ministry. Be very careful. And especially be wary if that person's wearing glasses, got a hearing aid, and has a stick. Don't trust them. Not everybody gets healed. Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You've healed me. You've protected me. But thank you for watching over me spiritually as my heavenly Father. You've brought me up from Sheol. You restored me to life from those who go down to the pit. This is Old Testament writing. David had no New Testament. He had none of the prophets. We've been studying Nehemiah. He had none of Nehemiah and all that history. He had just a few books as his Bible. But he knew that death is not the end. The soul lives on. He knew he had, as it were, been in danger of going down to the pit of the absence of the presence of God, of separation from God. He knew he'd been in dire straits, but God had kept him. You brought my soul up from Sheol. You restored me to life from those who go down to the pit. And notice what he says. Sing praises to the Lord, verse 4. O you his saints. Saints in the Old Testament? Yes. David says there were. He's one. So are all those who believe like he does. Give thanks to his holy name. Why does he say that? Not his great name, not his sovereign name, his holy name. A holy God will never play around with you and me. He'll never taunt us. He'll never push us to the brink if we stay close. His holy name means he'll be true to his name. He won't mess us around. He won't despise us. There's no shadow of turning. And David says this, you kept me from my enemies. You kept me when I was ill. You did, nobody else. And you kept me when my soul was in distress. I was afraid. I was panicking. I was afraid of losing your presence. 5, his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. Do you think sometimes God has just shut you off, closed his ears, covered his eyes, gone off and forgotten you? His anger may very well be something you felt, and I have, and rightly so, because we're sinners. Do you know what sinners do? We sin. Wow, that's deep thinking. Absolutely true. Sinners sin. God is angry with the wicked every day. We'll never get away with it because he's a holy God. But come to him on his terms, and the blessedness of knowing verse 5, his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. What a truth. Are you in the depths? Have you suffered loss? Is the prospect before you incredibly bleak? It's summer, the sun's shining. We might beat South Africa. Who knows? Everything could be okay, but not for you. You could be absolutely feeling as though you're in the pit. His anger's but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. And look at this. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Something struck me this week. It's taken me a long time for it to strike me. Creation. There was an evening and there was a morning the first day. There was an evening and a morning the second day. I thought days finished with evening. But in the Old Testament, they start in the evening and finish in the morning. And David says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. At the end of the day, he will turn it around for us. Many of us here have wept many tears. Some of us don't weep very much on the outside, maybe we do on the inside. Weeping may tarry for the night in bereavement, in loss, in disappointment, in having been cheated, in not getting what we really set our hearts on. We might have cried buckets outside or inside. But joy comes with the morning. He turns it round. How many times, by the way, have you lay on the bed and thought, I'm never going to get out of this? There's no answer to this problem. But the following morning does actually bring relief. It puts it into a bit more, often a better perspective. Weeping may tarry for the night. Joy comes with the morning. It might be a Hebrew day. It might be a 21st century British day. At the end of the day, if our focus is on him, he's a holy God, joy will come in the morning. Now, I reckon David put those first 5 verses in because of what's coming next till he finishes the psalm. Verse 6, the first 5 verses are all to do with praise. Verses 6 and 7 are to do with pride. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. Whenever we think we're strong in ourselves, we're at our weakest point. And what David's saying is this: I said to myself, verse 6, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Has the Lord blessed you? Got a nice house? Got a nice car? Got a nice family? Got a good job? Praise the Lord. And if you're a Christian, do so especially. If you're not, who gave it to you? Who allowed you to have it? Heard somebody saying the other day, where's your son up to these days? Oh, he's doing this, that, and the other. He's got on really well. And what car is he driving? What a pathetic question is that. What car is he driving? I'm not jealous, by the way. I'll tell you this. Whatever plate's on it, it's a bit of tin, and it'll go on the scrap heap. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. I'm David. 2 Samuel chapter 5, greater and greater. His stock was rising. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. We brought nothing into this world. We'll take nothing out. Do you thank the Lord for what he's done for you? We must do. And here's a word, not a hint. Don't feel got at. If you're ever asked to pray publicly here, please start your prayer with praise and thanksgiving and not with requests. We don't allow them in our growth group, requests at the beginning of the prayer time. They're not allowed. Thanksgiving. He has made everyone's mountain stand strong. When he hides his face because I hide my face from him and discount him, how am I going to be dismayed? My perspective will go. I will not have 20/20 vision. All perspective will go. Presumption. Pride in his prosperity. And David knew the perspective was wrong. Give thanks, friends, all the time. Always say grace. When you go to the Carvery, when you go to Costa, wherever you are with your family, whoever, say grace. Not to show off, give thanks, and people will look and he will hear. That's what matters. Next. Having realized he had blown it when self-reliance took control, David now comes with a prayer that I think is absolutely wonderful. To you, O Lord, I cry. To the Lord, I plead for mercy. I blew it. Please forgive me. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? I know what I deserve. I know I deserve to be turfed out of your presence. I know I deserve to be ruled out of your plans. But this is an amazing verse, verse 9. I can't do much good for you if I'm tossed into a pit. Let me stand and praise you. In other words, verse 9 really is a verse of repentance. I've blown it with you. I was too presumptuous. Keep me from presumptuous sins, Psalm 19. I can't praise you in the pit, but I can praise you if I'm still here to actually sound your name. That's what he's saying. Do you remember George Muller? All those orphans couldn't cope. Great prayer that's quoted about him. Lord, these are not my orphans, they're your orphans. Please look after them. And God did. I can't praise you. I can't be an example of your goodness and your holiness if I'm in the pit. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Keep me. Forgive me. I repent of my pride, I repent of my presumption, and I will praise your name and your faithfulness. Hear, O Lord, be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. I thought I could do it myself, I can't. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Don't pass me by. Be my helper. And so we've finished nearly. It's nice and short this morning. We've had praise, we've had pride, we've had a prayer, and we finish with a proclamation. Bit of history. 1567. I'm sure you remember it well. Philip II of Spain sent an appallingly bad man to Holland. His name was the Duque de Alba, the Duke of Alva. He was known as the Iron Duke far before Wellington was known as the Iron Duke. And for 6 years, he inflicted a reign of terror on Holland. And he inflicted a reign of terror on evangelical, Bible-believing Christians, of which there were thousands. It was called the Council of Blood because they were hauled before this Duke of Alba. Virtually everybody was declared guilty and the deaths were appalling. In 6 years, 10,000 people were killed. There was one man, and I can't pronounce it properly in Dutch, who was Johanna Herwin, probably not right, Johanna Herwin, who in jail for naming the name of Christ was noted for two things, his singing and his memory of scripture. And his favorite scripture was Psalm 30. Amazing. And his favorite two verses were 11 and 12. And he used to sing them out loudly in the jail to the encouragement of the other prisoners and to the fury of the guards. Because when he started singing, everybody else joined in. He sang these two verses so often, all the other prisoners learnt them. And then when he actually so frustrated the guards that it was time up, dreadfully and sadly, he lost his life. He was garrotted, which strikes me as being an appalling way to die. You have turned for me, verse 11, my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. In a stinking jail, knowing next time the door opened, it could well be the last time it opened for him. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I'll give thanks to you forever. John Herwin. David, the man after God's own heart. Don't cast me off. Please allow me to live and allow me to testify to you. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. Some dear friends of ours in this church know what that's all about. That is mourning. And dancing doesn't, of course, have to be literal, though in 2 Samuel chapter 7 it was. It's not for everyone to show their trust in God and their praise for God by dancing. But what David is saying, what that man in that Dutch jail was saying is this. The shadows are long. The night is dark, the cell stinks, circumstances are rough, but with my eyes focused on you, you've turned my mourning into dancing. That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. Who did you last speak to about the Lord Jesus Christ? Be absolutely honest. Not nearly got there, not almost said something in the queue, actually said something about what the Lord has done for you in your life. Be honest. When did you do it? O Lord, I'll give thanks for you to you forever, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. Thank God for Psalm 30. Don't go your own way. Don't not give thanks. Cry out, O Lord, thank you. Don't cast me off. Use me. I confess my sin. I will extol your name, and I'm not going to be silent. Do you want two fridge magnet verses? Print them out, stick them on your fridge. Second half of verse 5 and verse 11. Many Christians know them very well, but in the context of the psalm, they make even better sense and they're more relevant. At the dedication of the house that Hiram gave him, could it have been? Yes, Lord, you've been good to me, but I acknowledge you as the giver. Hiram's been good to me, but you're the giver. I will extol your name. Do we all thank him enough? We don't. Should we? Yes, we should. Joy comes with the morning. It's a great psalm. It'll get even better over the next few weeks, I assure you. People will do far better than I've done with this psalm. Read them through 30 to 34. Summer Psalms for the Bridge Chapel. And we're going to close with, I can't remember. Bless the Lord, O my soul. 10,000 reasons, and I can't remember one of them. 10,000 reasons to bless your holy name.